Breakfast orange, orange beetle, beetle fruit, beetle breakfast, beetle drink, beetle, beetle juice.
Yes, that's it!
Name's Beetlejuice.
Ah, you said it twice, just say it once more, come on.
It is June 1988. George Michael, Rick Astley, Debbie Gibson all have number ones on Billboard, Crocodile Dundee 2 and Big rule the box office, the Broadway musical Chess closes after 68 performances, and Susan Lucci is passed over for an Emmy for the 9th time. But you don't care too much about that because you're still processing this Denver's Klan convergence. How did Mom never figure this out? You told her all about that night at the cinema with Dennis from Second Period History and Angela, and their arrest for drug possession is still the talk of the town. You weepily recall the events of the great cinema betrayal to Mum's horror. She shoots Chuck a look. Did you know about this? She asks. Yeah, it came up when we were viewing the night's events with Angela's high-powered lawyer father. I just assume you knew, he shrugs. Boys will be boys, right? There's an electric silence in the room. Mom gets up, slowly walks towards the door. Bye, Chuck. And just like that, the whole family is once again Denver's free. You take what feels like your first breath in hours. Life is unpaused, so maybe it's time to cool down with the pop culture takes of the June 1988 issue. Yes, it's time to...
Listen to Sassy!
And now here are your hosts, Tari Ariano and Pamela Ribbon.
Wow.
Good job, Barbara.
Wow. What a mom.
Hey,
what
Pam.
A mom. Hi, how are you doing?
Hey, pop culture, the June 88 issue, which is what we're here to talk about. Pam, what was going on in your pop culture life in June 1988? Or do you know?
Well, listen, I'm so sorry. I'm not alone in learning that the past year, time is meaningless. And what does it matter that we mark it with numbers and dates? Except that I'm trying to again. So my body's trying to retether into its own timeline. And that is why I've just continually been wrong about where I was June 88. But I found my yearbooks. And by that, I mean, I reached over 6 feet away from me where they are at all times. And it turns out I'm still very much living in Jackson, Mississippi. I go to Chastain Junior High and McLeod Elementary School at the same time. And yeah, I'm super into this new thing of sassy, and I like a boy who likes Metallica. That's what's going on in June 88. But it's summer, and you know, I'm probably sad because I'm not at school.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, of course, I mentioned in the last episode that I'm on tour with a marching band. And at every stop, you know, there's not a lot of pop culture that you can consume because you're just like going to a new town every couple of days and being in a marching competition and winning because we were really good.
You know, hitting the club scene in Fargo, North Dakota.
If there was, we couldn't go because we were just like, we would stop, we would go in the competition, then we could get back on the bus. But everywhere that I could, anytime we stopped where there was a store, I would buy a new magazine because this was definitely in the thick of my love of magazines, which continued for the rest of my life. So speaking of buying magazines, I want to update something that I said in one of our early episodes. I was still at that time looking for a few replacement issues of Sassy because the ones that I had missing pages or cutouts. I have now acquired every issue with all pages completely intact. So thank you to everyone who reached out, sent scans, offered to help, hook me up with the Barnard, their archives. I am now complete. The archive is complete. So thank you to everyone who used the secret to make this happen.
While we're doing some site business, I just want to mention that we were very serious about you giving us your sign-off suggestions. We have one for this week. Mm-hmm. It'll come at the end of the show. And I'll just say now, it comes from A Medium Deal on Instagram. Thank you very much, A Medium Deal. If you have an idea for a sign-off, any way you can reach us is fine.
Yep.
Hotline, Twitter, Instagram. Maybe you live in my neighborhood.
It's also what you call a happy vagina, a pride.
No!
I wait. hated. What now? Let's get to What Now by Christina Kelly.
The first item is Sioux Plantation's Weird Al. Kind of. It's really more about some sassy people getting into an event and other people not getting into an event. It's just like a weird kind of humble brag, I guess. But I just want to point out that the headline is Weird Al plus Andrea for Eva. And I didn't realize for Eva was that old. It really seems like an internet creation. But Eva, back here in 1988.
Back when you Lilist someone.
It's probably older than that. I'm sure it goes back to like the 70s and in yearbook talk for sure. Weird Al.
Thanks, Dave.
Love him.
That's it.
Starlog Jam.
Moving on. There's a little article here in the corner in very bright green about, isn't it a bummer when you find out the celebrity you love is married? I don't remember being bummed out when celebrities got married. But in this case, they're talking about how Lisa Bonet is married to Leonard Kravitz.
Yeah.
Leonard. I will never not now, particularly with all the scarves. I'm going to be like, oh, Leonard. Is it cold today? That's really it. I just wanted to say Leonard Kravitz a few times because it's just the opposite of how I think of Lenny Kravitz.
Yeah. Well, they mentioned a few kind of youthquake celebrities who are getting married quite young. And I just wanted to note a couple of things. One copy note, they mentioned Kiefer Sutherland twice in this blurb and they spell his name wrong both times. I before E, Kiefer. But he is married at this point to a lady named Camelia Keith. And Peter DeLuise of 21 Jump Street is about to marry Gina Nemo. None of these marriages, including Lenny Kravitz and Lisa Bonet, worked out. R.I.P. all of these marriages, sadly.
Is Peter DeLuise still engaged or married?
No, they did end up getting married. They were married from 1988 to 92. But then he married another lady in 2002, and they are still married. So not bad for Hollywood. Good job. But yeah, Kiefer has married several other ladies. He broke up with Camelia Keith in 1990, of course. We all know he was going to marry Julia Roberts after that. That did not work out for him, thanks to Jason Patrick, notoriously.
I did not keep up with this kind of stuff back then. Like, even now, I'm like, oh, these are just names you're saying. Like, half of the things you're saying, I don't understand. I don't know who Camelia Keith is. Should I?
Yeah, no, I didn't remember who she was either. But the Kiefer and Julia and Jason Patrick love triangle was, like, such a huge gossip story at the time. Because they broke up, like, on the eve of, they were going to get married, like, 3 days later. And then Julia Roberts, like, runaway brided before runaway bride.
Oh.
Am I really telling you new information? Holy cow.
Yes. I mean, I just didn't do it. Like, I didn't, my parents weren't into that kind of stuff. Like, I'd leave the room. I also would Kramer seizure and have to go, I guess. But I don't, like, that is the sound of, ugh. And then I guess I'm not watching TV anymore. Then I'd go to my room and I guess read my sassy. I don't know. I haven't really thought about it before, but reading something like this from they also I would have imagined, like, she's 23. That sounds so old. Why not get married and have a baby? It's so long from now. My mom was 23 when she got married and 25 when she had me. So, you know, at the time,
yeah,
it didn't seem so scandalous. But now those are just babies. It's just an article full of married babies.
They're still so close. I love their like divorced friendship. There's so many pictures of the two of them together with like Lisa Bonet's current boyfriend, Jason Momoa, and, you know, Zoe Kravitz, their daughter, you know, out at events, all looking cute. They're adorable.
Yeah. Way to go, Leonard.
Yeah.
There's also a section here on beach book recommendations, and I think this is what started, I don't know, like certainly my book club that I had with Sassy as a relationship.
How did you start anything with this article that is 40 lines long and all caps? And not only well, all caps, serif yeah. all caps is just unpenetrable. My eyeballs would not stay anywhere. It's just bad design. Shame on you, Cheryl.
Here's a couple of things, Dave. One, this is how my soul speaks in all caps. Mm. And so for me, this is, you know, this is how I like to read things. Secondly, I'll have to show you the yearbook that I was the assistant editor on. And I did the like mini mag
inside. Not a lowercase to be found.
Not a lowercase to be found. And
Jackson
just like all my doodles. It's 1,000% ripped off of Sassy's What Now. I mean, sideways, fun facts about our seniors, just stuff about Prince. Oh, you know what? I guess it's time to scan it. Sometimes I thought there'd be things I'd share years later when they were happening, but I don't have that ability. I want to tell you all of it now.
All right. Well, for those who could read it, what, you know, please.
What does it say?
Yeah.
I do know that after I read this, I went to Katie Budget Books. I got Catcher in the Rye. I got Tender as the Night. I got Wuthering Heights. I got Of Human Bondage. Yes. And Ellen Foster, oddly enough, was a play done when I got to college. But anyway, I've read Catcher in the Rye a bunch of times and I've read Wuthering Heights, but I know my copy of Human Bondage is, I know exactly where it's sitting right now in this house, unread. I've moved it 10, 12, 13 times since this issue came out. And one day I hear it's pretty good.
Yeah, I've read Catcher in the Rye, of course, because, you know, I live in the world, but I didn't read Wuthering Heights until I got to college. But Ellen Foster was one, that was a title I knew because it was a Hallmark Hall of Fame movie. And it's on YouTube. We'll link it in the show notes. But this cast is insane. Jenna Malone is the titular character. It also features Ted Levine.
Is she a big girl?
Of Silence of the Lambs fame. That's right.
Nice job.
Kate Burton, Amanda Peet, and Timothy. Off with his pants.
Wow. Ooh. Baby Timothy off with his pants.
Yeah, he was very young. This was, well, not that young. This was 1997, but still. So, yeah, I don't know if I'll ever read the book, but I might watch that movie now that I know he's in it.
Bitchin' Beach Books, it says. That's what also, like, Dave, it's Bitchin' Beach Books. That's why it's in all caps.
No, I think Bitchin' Beach Books is sort of a surfer vibe, so it actually should be pretty mellow. This is like aggro surfer text.
Books are important.
Yeah, books are important. You should be able to read them.
Let's see how, and it signs off
checkmate.
With, have fun. Have fun. It's so cool. It's just such a cool way of like, I'm reading. Look, it's these, but look at these books. Like it's,
I can't,
I love it.
I can't fucking read it, Pam.
I love it. I love it. It is like, hey, smart girls. And boys, hey, smart, sassy readers, here are some smart books and some trash books and also some interesting books. And I just, it's so nice that it wasn't like, have you heard of Judy Blume? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There was so much material marketed toward us that was about just about your period and your nipples.
It's true.
And your parents having an affair with other parents. And so this was nice. Thanks, Christina.
We also have a little blurb about past male subjects of the magazine coming back in to say what they think of it now that it's been out. And it's a good thing that Robert Downey Jr. and Johnny Depp both say they like it because they are both future cover boys. Spoiler. But Tony Odell, who got ripped for his jacket, which I think we said at the time was a perfectly fine jacket, but his publicist was like, yeah, he didn't care for that. And you know what? Fair enough. So it's like excessively mean. But anyway, it's too bad that Christina Kelly, who writes What Now, had to be the one to hear about it if she was not the author of that caption. So that was just unfortunate and kind of funny.
Also going to be Johnny Depp's birthday, June 9th. He'll be 25, says like above his head. That's a fun fact.
Which means Cyndi Lauper's 10 years older than him at this time because she's going to be 35 on June 20th. She was already 35 back then.
Yeah.
She's much older now.
You do the math. Yeah, this is the history of the X meaning kiss. This is honestly what now is just nothing but me being such a nerd. It talks about how the X is a Christian cross of sincerity, faith, and honesty.
It doesn't.
Oh, it doesn't. I wrote this down. That's right. I was actually-ing.
Yeah.
I was actually-ing the what now. Oh, yeah. It's back when people would use an X for a signature. It is more than that. It does stand for the Christian cross, and kissing the document meant you were swearing your, you know, an oath to it. It's also the first Greek letter in the name of Christ. And then
that's how you know Christ is extreme.
Yes, he is the originator of the X Games. Did you know that? It's because people go Christ when they see you do this shit.
And now it's time for the crucifixion. Nobody has beaten Jesus Christ's record. It's 3 days up on the cross and he came back, never to be repeated. Now, he retired after that, but some say he's going to come back for another round. Stay tuned, it's Extreme true. Game lovers.
Don't call it a comeback. He's been here for years. Turns out, did you guys know the O of hugs? Just I went looking and it's like, yeah, it's just North America came up with that probably because of tic-tac-toe. X is like,
I think it's because when you get a hug, you go, oh, thank you.
Well, it's probably because your arms make an O around the person that you're hugging, too. All those reasons.
All excellent reasons.
Although, speaking of XO, the first line of this blurb is like, you know, Jane doesn't really sign her letters or whatever X, but XO Jane, her later website, begs to differ. Just saying.
Yeah. I wonder if it kind of came out of this. Like, she saw this Love Jane XXX and then a little kissy thing and was like, I do like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to hang on to that.
Probably not, but it's fun to think that maybe.
And now it's a word from Barabbas. Barabbas, also up on Calvary Hill. What do you have to say about X and O?
So last month we had Mother's Day, and this month it's Who Invented Father's Day. And I don't have a deep, dark dive to give you on this one. It's, you know, like, what about dads? And then people were like, I think dads kind of get everything every day. And then they're like, I know, but like, my dad's kind of cool. And then the senators are like, no, they'll think we did this because we're men, which is rather self-aware for men at the time, I have to say. Mm-hmm. And then the church got involved, and then big tobacco, big pipes, and big ties got involved and said, we could sell more.
Yeah.
And Americans apparently for a long time just made fun of it and said no. And it was like, you know, did you ever notice Father's Day?
Question for you, Pam.
Yeah.
What corporation would you describe as Big Tie?
I would call out who's making big ties. Yeah. First of all, I need to know who are tie makers. Halston?
That's what I'm asking. All tie makers seem like boutique endeavors.
Yes, but that's all you got.
It's the new line of ties from Monsanto.
Yo, it's big ties and skinny ties. Skinny ties don't have as much. And the bolo market is smaller. So you know what I mean
bolos.
By big tie.
Do you remember that one month where bolos were everywhere in high school? Ugh.
Well, in the South, it lasted a little bit longer than
right.
that. Yeah. Well, have you knew. I think we're real close to bolo time
you
again.
You think? I don't think so.
Yeah, because we're going to be like, YOLO bolo, and then it's just going to be ridiculous.
I had a pleather tie.
Wow.
In around this time, probably. Now, maybe it was a few years earlier than this, but it was a white pleather tie, and it was just like on a piece of elastic. It didn't even make you try to tie it. Just to go on your button down, God, it was fucking dorky.
I feel like 83, 84, 85 were the years of people who don't wear ties wearing ties for fashion's sake. Like the Looney Tunes ties, like all the novelty ties you would buy at those like Spencer's It store kind of places. You know, it's got Lucy Ricardo on it. Why? I'm wacky.
I have regrets. Anyway, Father's Day is coming up, guys, so don't forget to buy your dad personalized golf tees. I don't know. What do you get dads? Shit like that.
I don't know, Tara. What do you get your dad?
Yeah.
The rest of the panel doesn't have to worry about it.
We don't have any dads.
Oh, Tara's dad's got a good heart. He lasted longer. What am I going to get for Father's Day? Oh, this is so tough.
I need help.
Oh.
My
problems are large and many.
You're right. I'm flexing on both of you with my alive dad.
And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man. son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then.
Oh, it's another sassy glossary entry. This one is bullshit. Nobody in North America ever says wanker unless they're trying to do an impression of some guy from a Guy Ritchie film. It does, like, this stinks of the Aussie influence creeping in here, not, you know, trying to make it happen. You're not going to make wanker happen in
America.
So was
Daggy.
They're just trying to make you sound like worldly, like Madonna. Yes. You know how Madonna just knew other words because she traveled?
I'm just saying this is a some sort of Australian conspiracy to Aussify America.
Definitely.
And I will not stand for it.
But is wanker specifically Australian?
No, well, it's Commonwealth.
Is the glossary things they've heard, things you should know? Like, either way, it doesn't really work. So...
Listen, for people who are like very into Monty Python and the young ones right now, you're probably pretty excited to see wanker and use it and say like, yeah, I picked it up from this stuff I listen to or this music I'm into, right? Like, that's like, I would have probably been someone landing wanker in a way where people are like, I don't understand why you're saying
right
this.
At the end, it's John Stamos is a wanker. Didn't they throw him under the bus in the previous issue too? Wasn't there a John Stamos...
It's a daggy.
Okay, yes. It was daggy. All right, so it's just John Stamos getting dragged through all the glossary entries. Very good. I support that. I mean, I think John Stamos is a perfectly fine guy. For me, he's just the guy that Principal Scudworth screams out in Cloud High. Stamos! That's, like, that is John Stamos's function as far as I'm concerned on Earth. Mm-hmm. But I kind of like that. That's a good callback.
Potentially playing the longest clip of all time.
I don't cut the clips.
That was so long.
It's really the part where you're at a concert and you're like, when is this fucking song going to pick back up to the parts I know from the album? Jesus. Nobody cares about the extended guitar bit, Roy.
He's all like up front and someone's like dancing next to him. No, they're bringing people up on stage. Anything.
You it's probably eight sat- bars. Good
it's
Lord.
If you were just listening to that like I was, you were probably like, when will I recognize anything? You won't. It's Fergal Shirky. You've been listening to Fergal Shirky.
This is a name I only know from reading it in Sassy, which is the case for so many names, truly.
Fergal Shirky is the name of a confidential informant in some 1992 movie.
It sounds like what I would say if I was, like, someone was terrorizing me and I didn't know the answer. And I'd be like, it's Fergal Shirky.
That's like the panic dialogue of somebody's first time on as an extra on the set of Jaws. It's pretty great.
Fergal Shirky. No. This is when you go to the tenement museum and they've made up a whole diorama about the people who used to live there. This is like the Sharky family, including Father Fergal, who worked down at the
daughter
docks.
Constance.
Yes.
Yeah, should Fergal the shark. That's great. It's so great. It's got 5 stars this month in a 5 album review page. I had never heard of Fergal's work
again.
Before. So I just went like, well, maybe Fergal is like a bigger deal than I know. Fergal has a video for More Love, for a song from this album. Fergal looks like if Michael Shannon is playing Crispin Glover.
Wow.
Like, do you think? He looks exactly like Roger Reese. He looks like Robin Colcord from Cheers. Oop. He looks like that guy.
Okay. Let me pull. Sure. Now. Yeah. Oh, I see. Look at that square jaw. Yes, I see why you say that. Fergal went on to keep doing things that people care about. And he got... what is it called? You guys know royal things. What is an OB? What is an OBE?
Order of the British Empire.
He's that. Does that mean he's a lord or a sir or a knight?
He gets free scones for life.
Fergal! We don't have scones. You ate all our scones, Fergal.
It's a few steps down from a knighthood.
Fergal is the name of the secondary animal buddy from Brave or something like that, you know?
Yes.
It's like when the mother turns into the bear and she has to go live in the woods or whatever the fuck happens in that movie, she befriends a rabbit? A shrew? Ah, shrew, that sounds good.
Yeah, a very shrew timid
named Fergal.
Very timid shrew named Fergal.
Yeah. I think you're going to want to go to the other side.
Fergal, speak up.
I don't want to cause upset. It's a couple steps down from a knight.
Can we just talk about Fergal Sharkey for the rest of this podcast?
I think we have a new podcast. It's a Fergal Farkle. Yeah. It's just for fun facts. Fergal Sharkey's fun facts and saloon.
All right. I really hate Talking Heads. I just can't get into them. But I figured out, listening to a couple things, how to make Talking Heads better. You make Fred Snyder from B-52 sing all their songs, and then it's magnificent.
That's pretty true. That is pretty true. This is not my beautiful wife. You're right. Yeah. And now it's all covered with daisies. Yes. Dave, you've cracked it.
Thank you.
This was the song that I would just listen to say that I liked Talking Heads. That's it. These are the two. This one and
All
Once
right,
in a
here,
Lifetime.
Here I go with my celebrity conspiracy theories again. Nobody actually likes Talking Heads. People say they like Talking Heads because you think you're supposed to like Talking Heads. Also see Elizabeth Taylor.
Wow.
Wow, that's a real wide
That came
divide.
Out of nowhere.
I've said that before.
I mean, for this context of what we're talking about today.
I'll stand by it.
Road to Nowhere is a good song. Don't you like that one?
Yeah, I got this album out of the library. And this was the only song that I liked off it, too. It was a mixtape staple of mine for years. I also want to note Cheryl's review references Dancing with Neil. So, you know, the legend of Neil grows. But this has a very socially conscious video with like Chiron facts about gun ownership in the U.S. and the British government fucking over the unemployed with counting tricks and so on. But it's like there was a shopping mall. Now it's all covered in flowers. It's very like late 80s.
Yeah.
In that way, where it's like, okay.
While you sign up for Greenpeace. Right. That's what I was doing, making my own t-shirts.
That Midnight Oil song we were talking about a couple episodes ago, the video for that, where they're just like putting, this company is bad in the graphics. It's like, there's not a lot of subtlety in these activism videos, apparently.
Yes. Like, they made us make this video, so we're going to make a statement. Like, okay.
Fergal the Shrew, what do you have to say about Talking Heads?
I was really into Escassé and Psycho Killer. That's my favorite.
Karen reviews Stacey Q's Hard Machine. Nothing will top Two of Hearts. Back in the culture, thanks to being used as Cassie's ringtone on The Flight Attendant. By the way, a perfect show. Watch it on HBO Max. I'm sad every day we watched it too fast. So many times we've been sitting in front of the TV on a Saturday and I've been like, I wish we had another show like The Flight Attendant to watch. It was like such a perfect achievement for that kind of a show, but I digress. I Love You, which we just heard, sounds exactly like Two of Hearts. Like, you could sing the Two of Hearts lyrics over it. They are so much the same. And Karen's review, it is this month's Mob. She's like, these songs all sound the same. And just clip tracks 1, 3, and 7. So, Dave, please play those in rapid succession so you can prove Karen right how samey all of these songs are.
This is an expose song.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They're real generic.
God, no wonder my parents would ask me to turn it down. That's awful.
And yet, each one is sort of like, you know, if you're in the mood for that, it's like, okay, I get it. They're not good.
When you place yourself in the music world, maybe this is just me, but you know, who did I think I would be? I think I thought I would, this is awful. I can't believe I'm going to say this. I think I thought I could be some version of Stacey Q mashed with Samantha Fox.
Uh-huh.
Just, it's all very shorts centric and like, like it's not, it's so not me, but like, right. I thought that was like, if that's, that was just like, you know, you'd walk into a room and people would be like, there's Pammy Q. I'm mortified at myself. Oh, this is a real meatloaf moment that Dave might keep. But yes, I just remember her like, it's like that. I thought maybe I could get away with cutie pie singing and hot shorts wearing. It really went with my roller skates.
Yeah.
It's happening to me. I made you a mixtape. I don't just do the listen up songs anymore. I try to capture a little bit from what we've talked about so far for the whole issue or things I think we might joke about. So there's inside jokes and things for you. And you can find it on Spotify. We'll link to it in the show notes.
Next, we have Watch It, movie reviews, and I mean, I want to talk about the movie that is this month's hit, but I can't because we've already said it twice in the intro, Dave. It's Too Dangerous.
What I want to know is how old is this review? Because here we are in the June 1988 issue,
yep,
reviewing a movie that was released at the end of March.
Yeah, here's the thing. I have this in my notes. This is the challenge of launching a monthly magazine and trying to stay timely when the studios probably weren't giving them passes for preview screenings because they didn't know who they were.
Right.
Like, as we know, this movie starring Michael Keaton, Alec Baldwin, Gina Davis, and Winona Ryder, directed by Tim Burton, came out at least 2 months before this issue would have hit newsstands, which was probably in mid-May.
Yeah.
But, you know, yes, this was a hit. Critically and financially. But that said, Neil is the one who reviews it, and he describes the family that moves into the house as preppies. They're not preppies. They're a finance guy, his artsy scenester wife, and their goth daughter. None of them are preppies. Like, if anything, the ghosts are the preppies. Gina Davis and Alec Baldwin, they're preppier. They're the ones in the L.L. Bean clothes. Someone give him a sassy glossary of what American slang terms mean because he does not know what preppy means. Next, we have a movie called Stars and Bars that I have literally never heard of. It gets 4 stars. This review did not penetrate my brain and or I never saw the video box on shelves because all of this feels like brand new information. Mm-hmm. It's a Daniel Day-Lewis vehicle. He's like an English guy who lives in New York. His fiance's father runs an art gallery and he goes to Georgia to buy a Renoir from this eccentric family. So it's like kind of similar to Junebug in some respects. But so this cast, I mean, Pam has in our notes, everybody is in this, and it's true. Daniel Day-Lewis, RIP, his acting career. Others who are dead, who are in this movie, Harry Dean Stanton, Maury Chaykin of Toronto, Matthew Cowles, ex-Mr. Christine Baranski, Spalding Gray, Glenn Headley, and then also Joan Cusack, Keith David, Laurie Metcalf, Martha Plimpton, Will Patton, Celia Weston, Stephen Wright, and David Strathairn.
Yeah.
It's a crazy cast for a movie that's just like sunk into oblivion and does not exist according to streaming services.
A Daniel Day-Lewis comedy.
Yeah. Wild. So Stars and Bars, try and find it if you can, or if you saw it, let us know how it is.
Our next movie is 18 Again, which will have you wondering, how many George Burns films did I see as a child? It seems like he really was a part of my early comedy experience in a way that he doesn't get the credit for anymore. Like, we don't mention him, but he was there. He was just constantly there smoking a cigar and telling me what's what. He's barely in this movie that LA Times calls relentlessly unfunny. The film is based on the song I Wish I Was 18 Again, written by Sonny Throckmorton.
Sure.
And recorded by Burns in 1980. It is about Charles Schlatter.
Our first one to watch boy.
They have a birthday where one's 18 and one's 81, and they blow out candles at the same time. And then I guess they make some sort of wish, and then they smash through a thing, and bodies change, and George Burns is in a coma, which allows him to somehow have voiceover. It's very confusing. Yeah. It's not, I mean, it was a style at the time, like father, like son, and vice versa, and this kind of thing, to just swap two people. And
yeah,
they would never really got it right until Face Off. But
right. Yeah, they call this the best body switching movie yet. Big has not come out yet, and it is also not exactly a body switching movie, but yeah.
Big is out this month.
That's right. Big comes out in June 88, but it's not out at this point.
Yeah, I remember watching it in the movie
theater. I do too.
I think. Yeah.
Weird movie.
Yeah.
Next, we have Little Nikita. This is one I do remember seeing on the video shelf, but not one I ever watched, even though it starred River Phoenix, who I was into. And it's reviewed by Barbara, not our mom, Barbara, from our intros. This is Barbara, who we will hear more from in our next podcast. She's a reader who has come to hang out at the magazine this month. She misspells Phoenix, and our copy editor, Anne Vaccaro Brady, does not catch it.
To summarize what this movie is, it's the Americans if the Americans couldn't afford studio lighting.
Right. Yes.
It's like, do you want to watch the Americans, but you can't really tell who's who because there is like somebody's dim, battery almost dead flashlight illuminating every scene? This movie is for you.
Yeah. And he is Paige.
Do you like it when River Phoenix is about to cry while he talks? That's this movie over and over again. I remember watching it on cable and just being kind of bummed that it was just a grown-up movie.
Yeah. He did a lot of those.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was good at things. I met Sidney Poitier once. Nice to meet you, young lady.
Oh.
And it was very sexy. Look at me blushing now. He really is just like Sidney Poitier. It works. That guy's going places. Plainclothes is a movie I've never heard of. Mm-hmm. It's got 3 stars here from Karen. It says, do you watch 21 Jump Street? Check. Have you ever seen Hiding Out? Check. Then there'll be few surprises here. Plain Clothes is another story about everybody yawn, a baby-faced cop named Nick who goes undercover in a high school. So I was like, well, let me look this one up. Nothing. I mean, nothing. I never heard of it. And it's the first written by credit for Scott Frank. Frank of The Queen's Gambit. So everything worked out. Scott Coffey's in this. I enjoy it. He's my Ray Don Chung. of all things. Whenever I see Scott Coffey, I smile.
It's very funny to describe Arliss Howard, who at this point was definitely already balding, as babyface.
To this point, I thought Arliss Howard was the name of Arliss and Arliss of $$ on that HBO show, Arliss $$. So I was shocked to find out he's a real human being and not a character.
Yeah, he's Deborah Winger's husband.
I learned that too. Yeah, didn't know. He's not babyfaced, but they called him in this review likable without being wimpy, which is a feat in itself these days. And boo. And I booed that.
The late 80s, early 90s, narc boom. Such a weird moment in pop culture. Like, I mean, they mentioned 21 Jump Street. This, we talked about the pilot of Hull High on our, again, with this Patreon a couple of months ago. And that's also a thing where, like, a new girl comes to town and everyone just assumes she's a narc because she's seems old. Like, it's just weird that this was a thing. Narcs. I don't know. It was definitely something that everyone was concerned about for a while.
It stayed in the culture, narcs, don't you think? Like, I don't feel like narcs went anywhere.
I guess, but are they still in high schools? I don't think so.
It's a very Reagan-era sort of take on narcs, though. The menace of soft drugs coming to claim your children kind of thing. Yeah.
I think they probably don't do it anymore because people have been sued, I would imagine. And rightly so.
Yeah. Sticky Fingers is a film I think I'd like today. If I turned it on, I would watch this with a bowl of popcorn and my hands on my face the whole time. It stars, even though it got one star and a bomb from Christina, it has Helen Slater, who should be way more famous than she is, and Melanie Myron, maybe?
Mayron. I think.
You don't like my hands on my face, Dave?
You don't like this. It's changing your voice is why I was
Dave doesn't
doing this.
Like this. I have a new movie from Netflix. Okay. Sticky Fingers.
Oh, boy. Michael Caine's back.
Sticky Fingers. Got one star from Christina. It's a bomb, it says. But anyway, it looks like Melanie Mayron, who every time I look into 30-something, I think, would I watch 30-something? Should I like 30-something? She co-wrote this movie, Sticky Fingers, which is about two broke musicians who accidentally find themselves holding a whole bunch of money in a duffel bag. Another 80s movie staple. A whole bunch of money in a duffel bag. What do? You go shopping.
Women be shopping.
Women be shopping. It looks ridiculous, and I think I might watch it.
Yeah, it's on Prime. We'll link it in the show notes. And it also stars May one to watch Paul Hipp, the first one, the one who was interviewed with the waiter doing bits. Yeah. That guy.
The guy who's, is that the juicer? The guy who's juicing these days?
Yes, that guy.
So he has some sticky fingers.
he's got sticky fingers.
I'll see myself out.
Cleaning his magic bullet for sure.
Who doesn't?
We have one to watch. It is George Newbern. He is first billed in Paramedics. This is one of the credits that they mention here. It currently only exists on the Roku channel, but this seems like a DC cab kind of situation. I watched the trailer. It looks brutal. It looks real bad. Lawrence Hilton Jacobs from Welcome Back, Kotter is in it as Blade Runner, and Sally Kellerman's voice. She's the dispatcher. So Christopher McDonald are the paramedics. They're partners. Christopher McDonald has the craziest, like, white blonde perm wig. It looks like Police Academy, but what if they were EMTs?
You cracked the problem with it, though, is that Michael McDonald from the Doobie Brothers is not part of this project.
What if we were paramedics? Yeah.
Arrhythmic problems with your chest. Like, it'd be great.
Yeah, you're right. He was also in a movie called My Little Girl.
I'm sorry. Hold on. Give me one. I can't breathe. Just give me one. Hold on.
Oh, no, patient. Can't breathe.
Call the paramedics to Pam's house.
Get the thing. You put down her throat and the bag. I can't do the voice, but.
Yeah, I think my Michael McDonald's is better than yours.
It's good. Mine's terrible.
It's pretty good. Oh, yeah. Gosh. You do the compressions to stay alive.
What a Pam believes.
I know CPR. Okay.
And soundtrack right. by Fred Snyder from B-52. Yes.
Qu'est-ce que c'est?
Oh, no, she's going to die.
911 is a joke. I have never heard of George Newbern, and I don't understand.
Yes, you have. He's the husband and father of the bride.
Which one? The Steve Martin.
The one with Steve Martin. Okay. He's the fiance.
Don't recall.
You've never seen that movie?
No, I have, but I saw it when it came out.
I'm saying 0%.
Guys.
One to watch, 0% through to June 88.
See, in my notes,
Tara,
I have...
Wait, hang on. Tara, you're not... So, remember back Tara when we did FameTracker.com, we had that segment called The Reasonable Person, which was, if you're not super duper into pop culture, what do you think about certain things about pop culture?
Yeah.
Here is, you are not the reasonable person. You are the pop culture savant who knows who everybody is.
He was in Scandal. That was a huge fucking show.
Oh, did he play Olivia Pope?
Was he the Scandal?
Yes, he played Olivia Pope in Scandal.
Oh, he's very good.
He was in like a lot of episodes of that show.
I just wrote, did not engage.
Okay. So the segment, in order to fulfill his destiny, should have been called One to Watch 30 Years Later.
One to check in on later.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, I think he is the one to watchiest so far.
Okay. But I still think it fails One to Watch.
Okay. Call the hotline and tell Dave he's wrong.
But if you do, wait, hang on. If you do call the hotline, you have to tell me I'm wrong. You either have to do it as Michael McDonald or Fred Snyder. I'm not going to play it if you don't.
Our first feature this month is How I Bored Ziggy Marley by Christina. She's so good at these kinds of articles. It's fun and personal and very relatable for someone who also would be like, I ended up in this weird moment with Ziggy Marley where I kind of biffed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he just wandered away and never came back.
She asked some question. He was like, oh, sure. And leaves her with his band.
Yeah.
Just to sort of figure it out. I can't tell at one point. Because she keeps talking about how he's bored and tired and loungy and barefoot and chill.
Yes.
And I can't tell if she is trying to give us clues that he's high or if she's like me and doesn't know what being high is or looks like. And just like, this is where I would be like, I guess he had like a long flight or something.
Right.
Well, they were dancing around that with the Robert Downey Jr. article in the first one. So I think it's deliberate.
Yeah, I had that too. He seemed to get more and more low-key. So yeah. As with the RDJ profile, we could maybe entertain the possibility that he was high and they're trying to say that without saying it straight out.
He really did just leave her there.
Yeah.
She's like, okay, I guess I'll go. Thank you, moving on.
Next, we have Why That Patrick Swayze Poster May Destroy Your Love Life by Andrew Lawrence. And my first note on this is, fuck this article. Like, I was mad at it. This feels like something that would never be in a later issue. Like, it's basically, it's by this guy. And it's sort of like, we feel bad when you have crushes on celebrities. Like, well, get over it. Like, that's your problem. This space is for us, is how I feel. Pam, you made a big face when I said fuck this article, so you don't agree.
Well, I don't exactly agree because I do feel like this set me up to think that this is what it would be like when boys wrote to you about how they felt about you. And that's not true. Like, nobody's going to write to you like Andrew's writing here in Sassy. He's writing very... Sassy-esque, like, hey, I have boys have feelings too, and like, we never do that. I mean, I guess we do. Like, it's a little self-effacing, but also, this is a better Neil. This is my Neil. You know what I mean? This is my Neil, my wish. It didn't come true, but like that he's basically talking to you in sassy speak to be like, I understand you think Bono's hot, but like you aren't noticing that I like you. I'm a regular person who will make mistakes. I'm someone who isn't going to be perfect. And then he says, I will laugh at your dead baby jokes, which was a real flashback to remember dead baby jokes.
Sure.
Do people still tell them? I'm guessing not. And 4A, where he says, we don't do this. Yeah, we never do this is a lie because the guy I liked kept a picture of Alyssa Milano in his wallet.
Sticking with this article's heteronormative framing, like I don't recall ever talking to a presumably straight dude about my pop culture crushes on boys ever. because I was pretty sure they would not care or have anything to contribute is A. Right. And B, like, boys have posters of hot girls all the time. And the difference is, like, they just are looking at pictures, like, to scold this jag off scolding girls about comparing real boys to pop culture crush boys is, like, the implication that real boys don't compare real girls to pop culture crush girls is absurd, or that they don't have model posters like they do. I would also venture to say not of people they bother to learn any facts about, which girls do. You know,
I'm into her facts. I'm not just into her tits.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know things about Johnny Depp that no one who had a fucking, Farrah Fawcett poster probably knew her birthday.
I knew things about the cute boys that they would have on their walls. I'd be like, that's Sebastian Bach. Let me tell you all about him.
Yes. This article is trash. Send it back to 17 where it belongs, is my opinion. Dave, what do you think?
First of all, I think this might be the biggest editing fail so far in the magazine, because there is actually not a byline, a proper definitive byline on this article. And the intro sort of inset paragraph sets it up that Jane, the magazine, is getting the scoop from Andrew Lawrence on what boys think, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And then the language of the article actually doesn't denote that this is the guy writing it until halfway down the second column where he says, we guys. Up until that point, it could have been any of the sassy writers writing this as like they have interviewed him and here's the synthesized scoop.
True. So true.
I thought that was really bad. They do a lot of things where they don't put the byline. I think they just have to like, all right, let's just put by whoever on this because we're really bad at that. And sometimes it creates problems.
Anyway. It's also possible that Andrew Lawrence... is not a real person.
Well, I mean, the name is so generic. I did try to find if this is a person that went into journalism, but I couldn't find an Andrew Lawrence. For all I know, this could just be his first two names and no surname.
Okay, and here's a point to that. He uses the word gorgioso, which was in the article that we talked about last episode. So whoever wrote that article, and maybe somebody can look that up.
That was Christina.
So maybe this is actually a Christina article.
This is a real Christina article. That makes sense.
This is the kind of detective work you don't get in all the other sassy magazine recap podcasts. So probably there's a chance that Christina Kelly wrote this article and then just slapped his name on it because she was writing in the male voice.
Now that I said that, I'm not sure. It might have been Karen. But okay. Either way.
Somebody else on staff.
It's just too many mentions of Terrence Trent D'Arby to be someone named Andrew Lawrence.
I think you might be right. I think we may have cracked this one. Although I do have one question left, and it's probably the most important question. How do you dance to I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For? How is that a danceable song?
It's not.
You can't slow dance to it. Bop to it. It is exactly not right for any sort of
Pam's going to do it.
Okay, here we go.
Call Mark and Sarah because you can strip to it. Mark and Sarah know you can strip to it. It requires a chair. I think I did a great job.
Yeah.
Move on from there.
Wow, that was some Kate Bush level dancing.
It's show songs. It's dance class show songs.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't even get to start fake signing. Looking.
Anyway.
This article is kind of bullshit. And I feel like either this is a synthesis of things they think boys do, or it's just like, remember all the shitty things boys did? Let's write something about that. Put a guy's name on it. Tee-hee.
Yeah.
Tee-hee, they said.
So, Christina, if by some chance you should happen to hear this, if this was a real person, help us track him down and yell at him for his bad opinions.
Yeah, there's incentive.
If you, we'll link an article in the show notes that makes a stronger case about this. Like, this makes this argument, but more convincingly, given how much more access we now have to celebrities via social media and how it, like, actually can mess with your brain to, like, know things on a kind of hour-by-hour basis about your crushes, which, like, that makes more sense to me. And I will say, Well, I'm not that bummed out when celebrities like hook up with people I don't approve of or whatever, which is one of the things this article mentions is like something that can really upset you if you have an unhealthy crush on a celebrity. My version of that is when a celebrity that I thought was cool and was around my age and had been childless then suddenly has a kid and I'm like, oh, I guess they're not on our team. Sorry, Pam. No offense.
Yeah, you guys are finally just starting to get over me having a kid. Remember that Dave was like, bah.
I do. Everybody who has a baby in my life, I just say when I hear it, well, that's great. Congratulations. Nice knowing you.
Nice knowing you. That's what he said. Yep. Broke my heart.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. I was like,
you were kind of busy for the next 4 or 5 years, weren't you? All right. I'm not a kid person. I mean, I'll see your kid. I'll go through the dance. Beautiful. But I don't really care. And then like by the time that kid is now like can entertain themselves in the backyard while you go visit, great. Best of both worlds.
Yeah.
You have a kid and I can talk to Pam.
I only had a kid to make you leave me alone for about 5 years.
Yeah,
it's getting ridiculous.
Yeah.
Final feature is Don't Call Jason Gedrick a Hunk by Christina. She kind of starts by setting him up as a serious actor before suddenly springing he attempted suicide on us at the end of the first column and then backing up to explain the circumstances that got him there. And there's really a lot of suicide talk in these early issues that I had not remembered.
It was in shows and books and it was just always it was one of the topics that was allowed to be discussed as a teenager. It was a safe thing that might happen to you or you might want to do that. And so we were kind of talking about it a lot more than the 6 billion other things that can take over your heart and your brain.
Yeah. But good for him for being very candid about it from this side of the experience and seeking opportunities in the real world to help others who are suffering the way that he was. He talks about volunteer work that he does. And she, I think, handles the telling of it with a lot of grace. Mm-hmm. And I will also add, to dispute the headline, how you know he's absolutely a hunk. At the end of Justified, we learn Winona threw over Raylan at some point and ended up with him instead. He's in the very last episode of Justified as her new man. Do I agree? No, but I also don't think it's a gigantic downgrade. So, you know, I will call him a hunk. Sorry.
But this is my favorite quote. When she asks what's it like to be lusted by girls and be considered a hunk, he says, I can't live in anyone's idea of me. People who do appreciate the way I look, I appreciate their appreciation. And I definitely dated this dude. I appreciate their appreciation.
That's a very Pam boyfriend line.
Right?
It is.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I go home and write about it. I appreciate you appreciating my appreciation of you.
I'll promise to try.
Oh, no. I think someone has said that to me. Is that from something?
Simpsons, no. I think.
Oh, I promise to try. Yeah. Wow, he got it from the Simpsons? That sucks.
Did your boyfriend ever say dough to you? Or I carumba? Pam, I carumba. Who's this guy?
Oh, is that a baggy suit?
Eat your shorts.
Fashion stories about casual dresses for the backyard, hippie looks for the trail, and big brights to be seen from space. Turn your white clothes psychedelic and your formal wear casual. Try your grandma's beauty tips. Plus, Reader Barbara runs the magazine for a day, Mary Clark gets the diary spotlight, and much, much more. For my plug this week, Christina Kelly was on the bonus Patreon episode of the Everything is Fine podcast, the podcast hosted by former Sassy editor Kim France and Jennifer Romolini. We will link that in the show notes. It is delightful.
For my plug this week, if you really do like body switching genre type things, then you might like the issue of Rick and Morty comics that I wrote, issue number 32, Summer's Eve. It's an all summers issue where there's a body switching element to it. And there's a link to that on Amazon.
The Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show is almost at the playoffs, so go to usaquizshow.com, start listening so you can get ready for the next competitive level of pop culture trivia. And I'm newly on Instagram. You can find me, David T. Cole, where I'm posting my photography in the main section and then stupid shit in the stories. You can follow Tara at Tara Ariano, Pam's at Pamela Ribbon, and the show, Listen to Sassy, everywhere you find social thingies. Please rate and review us on the podcast app of your choice so we can rise up in the ranks, get more eyeballs on the podcast, and please tell your friends, families, and people you meet in the street about the podcast so we can get more earballs on this endeavor.
You can also call us. We have a hotline. It's 720-SASSY-GO. Because of Farragles, you can leave us a voicemail about this show, your favorite Farragle, or the magazine, and we could play it on a future episode.
You can find more information about the podcast, visual aids for all our episodes, and contact info for all of us at listentosassy.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
See you next Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. And then it also has one more, like, here's a little Pam, like, basically walking through New York's like you smoked a pack of cigarettes. It's Johnny Depp's birthday. Bye. It's very me. A half hour walk in New York City is as good for your lungs as smoking a pack of cigarettes. There you go.
Mm-hmm. Tough times.
That is some tough times. I mean, I hope that's no longer the case.
They also don't cite any proof for that. I don't know if that was just how they feels or if that was
before
actually...
Giuliani came in and cleaned up this city with his big smoke vacuums.
Yeah. Like my mom, when I'd go to see you guys and she'd be like, just don't take the subway to see them. I was like, I have no choice. I don't know what you're talking about. She's like, don't go to Queens. Like she doesn't. That's what this sounds like. My mom being like, you know, just walking around that place is you might as well smoke two packs
just
of cigarettes.
Just stay in Times Square around the comfort of all your favorite family restaurants.
Not back then.
Oh, that's no. Meh. Yeah.
Yeah. 88. Definitely not.
No.
By family restaurants, I meant brothels.
Oh, yes, they did keep it in the family.
Yeah.